Hello from me, John Akers. Caroline was away this week, so it was me in the hot seat on Sunday. And in our sports world debate, we talked about a turbulent year for athletics in Kenya. Is the future still bright for one of the most dominant nations on and off the track? Great names like Kiplagat, Rhodesia and Kipsand have all helped Kenya achieve 31 medals over the past three Olympic Games. However, the success has been tarnished recently with an ongoing debate on doping and some of the nation's top athletes threatening to stop representing their nation at international competitions like the Olympics over new tax laws. Well, my guests were Kenyan athletics writer Elias Macori and Sportsworld's Chris Dennis, who had just returned from Kenya.
I think in summary, John, it's not a widespread problem, but it certainly is big enough to need to be taken seriously. And just a bit of context for you, Kenya, utterly dominant really in distance running over the last 5 years. And for that reason, Kenyan athletes are the most tested in the world by some distance. Just for example, in 2012, nearly 800 tests were carried out on Kenyan athletes by the IAAF, the world governing body of athletics. Interestingly, not a single out-of-competition test carried out by Kenya's own federation. And I know that's a point we're going to come to later in the discussion. 17 athletes tested positive for banned substances since January 2012. And that compares with just two positive tests between 2010 and 2012. So quite a big jump there. Mm. And that's what's alerted suspicion and certainly made all the headlines in the last few months.
Yeah, Elias, how have Kenya's leading athletes then reacted to these positive tests over there?
You know, the elites are used to getting tested. The issue is, the upcoming guys who are trying to make it big. Somebody like Rhodesia, for example, Wilson Kipsang, gets tested very, very many times in a week. Sometimes even in a day, he can get a few tests. So it's not a problem among the elites, but the upcoming guys who, go to the big, the small city races in Europe and try to make a living, and they don't have any education at all about what they should take and what they should not take, even in medication.
Mm. And Chris, you've been talking to some of the athletes out there.
Yes, when I was in Kenya, I had the good fortune to speak to a number of the top athletes. Edna Kiplagat, for example, was one of them, the double world champion. I mean, she told me quite openly she's tested personally every 3 months, regular as clockwork. The testers come to her house. They know where she lives. She tells them in advance where she's going to be, and it works absolutely fine. But she has real concerns for those younger, less experienced athletes that Elias just referred to there, perhaps in some cases naive athletes, and she feels that when they do test positive, they're really hung out to dry and left on their own.
An athlete should not be penalised alone. The athletes should be penalised. The coach should be penalised. The doctor should be penalised, because I'm seeing there is a lot of athletes, when they fail the test, they suffer. But the person responsible for giving out the drugs is left to continue with the business.
And as an elite athlete and obviously one of Kenya's most successful athletes, how frustrating is it that perhaps some other parts of the world think that Kenya athletics is not clean?
It's not good to victimize Kenya. They should not see Kenya as the country which has a lot of athletes who have failed the test. I cannot say it's 100% clean, but the government and the athletes and the doping control should work together to clean this mess.
Elias, you mentioned before it's about education, isn't it, for a lot of young athletes? And I guess knowing when someone is giving you a supplement or perhaps something that isn't a banned substance, and knowing the difference in what you're putting in your body and getting that education out there to young athletes, is that important?
That's the most important thing in Kenya, because most of these athletes barely finish their education, their primary school, so they get into the professional running with very, very little education, and they're quite naive. You know, when they're signed up by a manager, they believe everything the manager tells them is the gospel truth. And the big problem lies with some of the managers. There's some guys who are not officially registered, who make their way into the country. There is no mechanism to screen these people who are traveling up to the North Rift to sign up young, naive athletes. And some of the athletes I've spoken to have confessed that they don't know, what they're given. They're told this is a painkiller, but they don't know if it is actually a performance-enhancing substance. So education really is the bottom line.
Mm. How seriously is Athletics Kenya taking this, Chris? And what are they planning to do about it?
Well, they say, of course, you would expect them that they are taking it very seriously. They've been running a number of seminars and educational programmes over the last year or so. The problem is, though, as we said right at the top of the programme, not enough out-of-competition testing is being carried out in Kenya by Kenya's own federation. And at the heart of that, it's a lack of money. There isn't a blood testing facility in Kenya itself. So once a blood sample has been taken, that has to be flown to South Africa, which is the nearest lab, which is an enormous distance away. I mean, in the future, a facility is being built in Nairobi, and there are plans to have one in Eldoret, which is just down the hill from Iten. But all of that, of course, is taking time. And when I was out in Kenya, I spoke to David Akeo, who is Vice President of Athletics Kenya, and I asked him if he accepts the criticism which has come his way that more testing needs to be done.
Yes, it is true. Would have liked to carry as many tests as possible. It's very expensive, and this is coming from Athletics Kenya itself. We want to be seen to be doing something. We want everybody to remain clean. So what we are trying to do is to make sure that most of our events, especially the national championships and what have you, we carry out the anti-doping tests.
Are you doing enough testing, though?
Well, I won't say enough. I don't know how enough or how much enough you're talking about, but I can say most of our national championships, most of our road races like the marathons that we run in the country, it is now a must that even the people organizing them, we cannot give them the permit unless one of the conditions is they must do the anti-doping tests. And as far as the races that concern the federation, we do the tests ourselves, like the national champions track and field, like the national champions cross country that we are going to have on the 15th, and anything national, we take it upon ourselves. And as you have really put it, it's a very expensive exercise because, first of all, we don't have the lab in this country. We have to take the samples collected to South Africa. We must pay for the laboratory. We must pay for the transport. We must pay for the kits to be brought from Switzerland. And so it's an expensive thing. So where do we get the money? We are a voluntary organization. But we are trying to work hand in hand with the government. I'm happy that the government, Kenyan government now, through the Ministry of Sports, has set up a committee actually to do the investigations on exactly what is happening. They want a report that will be given to WADA as soon as they finish their report.
Well, this committee was due to give its report to WADA in November, but it hasn't done so. Do you know why?
I agree it was supposed to be November, but you see the committee was set a little bit later. And I want to believe, I don't want to talk on behalf of the sports ministry, but I don't know whether they appealed to WADA to give them a little bit more time so that they can file the report and send it to WADA. That one I can't tell, but I know the exercise is going on. They have done a lot of interviews. They're still going on. Maybe they're in the process of compiling the report before they submit it to WADA.
Elias, what's your reaction to what David Akeo had to say there?
Well, actually, the biggest problem in Kenya is finances. Yeah, they say they're going to set up a lab in Iten, in Eldoret. But personally, I don't think it's something that is in the near future, because if that task force already doesn't have enough money to investigate these cases, you know, a couple of days, about 3-4 days ago, they were given an extra $100,000 to do the investigation. They don't have money to investigate. You know, money to set up a lab is totally. I don't see it happening in the next 10 or 15 years, because it won't be viable to have a lab specifically for testing, athletes, because you have to make it commercially viable. How will it sustain itself? So unless WADA and maybe the International Olympic Committee and the IAAF, come up together and, finance the setting up of a lab, I don't see the Kenyan government doing a lab for, just for track and field testing.
And to both of you, how much damage has this done to Kenya's reputation? Chris, you've been there recently. Of course, Elias, you're there now. What are the people in Kenya saying about this?
Well, I was there and I got a sense that there is deep embarrassment and concern amongst the running fraternity. Of course, they're very, very aware of how much of a contribution Kenya's athletes make to the greater good, the economy in financial terms, but also the contribution they make to the reputation of Kenya. They really have put Kenya on the map way beyond sporting achievement. One person I was very keen to talk to was Brother Colm O'Connell. He's an Irish missionary who has lived in Iten since 1976. He's very much seen as a father figure, the godfather, if you like, to Kenyan athletes. He's coached 25 world and 4 Olympic champions, including the great David Rudisha. I asked him how worried is he by what he's heard.
Very worried. It's always a worry to the outside world, to the media. Are Kenyans doping? Are they not? Who is? Who's not? You'll always have the cynics, of course, that will think that anybody who breaks a world record or anybody who has a top-class performance, you know, you pass it off by believing, you know, he's in doping. Maybe also the cycling situation has brought this whole aspect of doping in sports to the fore. It is something that we cannot ignore anymore. It is something by saying, oh, maybe there was a time when we would think back some years ago and saying, well, Kenyans or maybe even Africans in general don't have access to drugs. They're not in a drug culture. In today's Africa, in today's Kenya, if you want, you can go that way. You can go that direction. So it is that's why it's becoming a worry. Maybe if you asked me 20 years ago, I would say, no, it's not a problem because it's not available and most Kenyans live in Kenya anyway. But now they travel so much and there's so much European influence coming into Kenya, even into Iten, that it is a worrying factor. However, I think our elite athletes and any athlete who is aspiring to become elite has to be aware of this and has to realize that if I want to become a success and if I want to have a legacy in the sport, you know yourself, we've had some great athletes who've had great careers and a hiccup right at the end of the career. What are they remembered for?
The hiccup.
The hiccup, exactly. So I think Kenya has to make a very, very concerted effort to monitor it, to prove to the world of athletics that we are clean, that races we run are all above board. It's not easy. It's a battle. It was a battle in cycling. It's a battle in swimming. It's a battle in athletics.
There was some positivity coming out of Iten, which is, of course, known as the Mecca for marathon runners last weekend. The first ever entirely privately funded synthetic track in the whole of Kenya was officially opened by Mo Farah and Paula Radcliffe, who are both training in Iten. The track was jointly financed by the former world champion Lorna Kiplagat, who lives in Iten, and the London Marathon. Many of Kenya's elite athletes were also there, Emmanuel and Jeffrey Mutai, Edna Kiplagat, and Pritch Chejeptoo, along with the great and the good of Kenyan athletics and several hundred local school children. Superb event. Also there were my two guests as well, Chris Dennis and Elias McCory. Quite an occasion, I guess, guys.
Mo Farah, I have to say, wearing a Maasai wig, jigging up and down, absolutely loving every minute of it. And then the crowning glory was when, once the ribbon had been cut, Mo and Paula led a lap of the track, 400 metres, with the elite athletes behind them, and then these 500 or so local school children, all in pristine white shirts, all going round, a lap of the track. It was absolutely superb.
Did we get to see your moves, Chris?
I was there, of course, as a journalist. What do you would expect, John?
Serious journalist.
I think Chris needed to go for dope testing after his run.
I've heard that. That's why I mentioned it. I heard that rumour. I didn't want to libel Chris there, but yes. Okay. How important, seriously, though, is this track for Iten and for Kenya too?
It's hugely important. It's being marketed as the place to go for international athletes to go and train. It's got the perfect combination of altitude, 2,400 metres, 8,000 feet. The climate is absolutely brilliant. It's right on the equator and all the facilities are there now. Lorna Kiplagat and her Dutch husband, Peter Longerhurst, have worked tirelessly to bring this about. And Lorna wanted to have, for the first time, all these facilities under one roof in one place. And she was telling us that her experience as an international athlete all those years ago, everything was there, but it all seemed to be all over the place. When she went to St Moritz, for example, she could go to the track, but then she'd have to travel some way to go for warm down. The sauna would be somewhere else, the swimming pool somewhere else. And she wanted to bring it all under one roof. And she says that the track is hugely important, not just for Iten, but for the whole of Kenya.
This track is so important because it's not a normal thing to do it in Kenya. In Europe, in America, every day there is a tartan track being put together. But in Kenya, it's very unusual. And this was only not sending the message that it is possible. It was also, we will see running in a different direction now.
The track was funded partly by yourself, partly through London Marathon. Should the Kenyan government, should the Kenyan Athletics Federation, should they be embarrassed that this is entirely privately funded?
maybe the government didn't believe in it, and it was actually not usual for an individual to say they are going to put out a tartan truck, and especially, you know, just an athlete. There are so many companies with a lot of money or universities, and they never did that before. So I think because it's something which has never been done in Kenya, and they didn't believe in it, I hope they won't be embarrassed from it, but they will learn from it. Like, yes, it's possible, and we could turn the whole sporting careers for athletes in a different dimension. So I expect this as a learning process again, instead of being an embarrassment.
And just finally, guys, is the future still bright? We've talked about an awful lot of negative things about Kenyan athletics there, but is the future still bright?
Quickly for me, I think, yes, it is. Overwhelmingly, the power of Kenyan athletics, I think, will ring true. It is a question of education, and I think slowly but surely they will get it right.
And Elias?
Yeah, definitely. The future is very bright, and I'm sure in a few months you'll see it. We have the World Junior Championships in Oregon, and Kenya is going to come up with the new talent, fresh talent, and with more education, the issue of doping should be settled. But yeah, the future is there's an endless production line of athletes from Kenya.